last Sunday we celebrated Easter, and we celebrated the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the tomb. Today we want to think of the benefits of the resurrection. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 1, 15 to 20. And let's read that. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, verse 16 reminds us that this was Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers, and this prayer was for certain things. What he prayed for could only be supplied on the basis of Christ's resurrection. Because Christ rose from the dead, God will give us certain things. And Paul prayed that these believers might know, appreciate, and experience those things. And we call those things benefits. Now, what is a benefit? Well, when I was going to Bible school in Omaha, I worked part-time at the Sears Automotive Center. I was part-time, but the full-time workers, they not only got a bigger salary than I got, but they had certain benefits that I didn't have as a part-time worker. They had health insurance. They had paid vacation. They had holidays off. And they had profit, part of the profit-sharing program. Now, they had these things just because they belonged to the company. Now, the things Paul prayed for were things that they had and could experience just because they belonged to God's family. Now notice again verse 17 and the first part of 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know. These things were not just naturally things they would know, but they're revealed to us in God's Word. Now, God not only wants us to know about them, but grow to deeply appreciate them so that our hearts will be filled with praise because of them. Now, I want to give an illustration. Years ago, there was a certain individual that was living in poverty. And he didn't know, but he inherited a great sum of wealth from a relative of his that died. And the other relatives tried to find him, but couldn't find him. And they searched for years to bring him the good news that he was a wealthy man, that he had received this fortune. But until he found that out, when he was questioned, once in a while he was questioned, "Why do you work so hard?" And he would respond, "Well, I have to have something to live on. or once in a while he was asked, why do you dress so poorly and live in such a run-down shack? And he would respond, well, I barely have enough to live on. And sometimes he was asked, why don't you enjoy life? And he would respond, I don't have any time or money to enjoy pleasure. But what joy, and yet what regret he had when he found out that all of that time he had great wealth and he didn't have to be living like that all that time. Now God wants us to know, appreciate, and enjoy the benefits that are ours in Christ. Now the first benefit we want to think about is the hope that we have. Notice in verse 18, he says, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now, hope in the Bible is not something which is doubtful or questionable, not something that we won't know until the end of life. Years ago, I used to enjoy listening to the Iowa Hawkeyes football team. And at one time, they had a wonderful, talented quarterback, and his name was Chuck Long, and he was a candidate for the Heisman Trophy. He hoped he would get that trophy, but he didn't know until the day it was announced. Many times in school, young people would sing a song or play an instrument at a music contest, and they would hope they would get a number one rating, but they didn't know until the ratings came out. Now, but hope in Scripture refers to that which is certain, that which is definite, that which we can know positively now. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, we have everlasting life now when we trust Christ. And 1 John 5:3 says that we can know right now that we have everlasting life. And Hebrews 6:19 tells us that knowledge is sure and steadfast. Now, hope involves, as Romans 8:1 says, no eternal condemnation, no wrath. And Revelation 21:3-5 says that when we get to heaven, things will be much different than they are here in this life. There will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more frustrations, no more disappointments, no more loneliness, no more heartaches, no more death. And not only that, but Revelation 22:12 tells us that we will be rewarded for faithfully living for the Lord and serving him here on earth. And Paul's prayer was that their hearts would be filled with praise and thanksgiving because of this hope that they had in Christ. Now, the second benefit we want to talk about when we know Christ is that we might know the riches. Again, in verse 18, he says, that you might know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance. What What is of greatest value to you? Is it money? For some, they say, well, if I just have lots of money, I'll be really, truly happy. And yet some of the wealthiest people on earth are the most miserable. Well, some would say, well, the thing that I want most is fame. And yet some of the Hollywood movie stars have lots of fame and money, but a lot of them are really miserable people. There was one time a certain person said, I have found true happiness. And I don't remember if this was a man or a woman, but they met the person that they fell in love with and wanted to marry. And when they got married, a year later, it was revealed that for the last 6 months, half of that year that they had been married, this person was very, very miserable. Now, I think of a movie star from the past, Marilyn Monroe. She had fame, she had wealth, and yet she took her own life because she was so miserable. Now, some people would say, well, if I have pleasure, then I'll be truly happy. But pleasure, you have to get more and more, it has to get more and more exciting all the time to keep a person interested. And Solomon had great pleasure, but he summed it up this way, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And so what is our greatest need? To know we are truly loved, to know that we have great worth, to know that we have value. Now, of course, parents need to make sure that their children know and feel this. And husbands and wives need to make sure that each other knows and feels this. And we could go on, but so many times we fail and we hurt the ones that we love the most. But God wants us to know this. Notice verse 18 again, that he wants us to know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You see, believers are God's inheritance. Those redeemed by the blood of Christ are his inheritance. Now, in our natural state, we are not of such great value, but what God can do in us and through us gives us great value. God brings glory to himself through his people. After the basketball season, there are the state basketball tournaments, and the champions receive a big trophy. Now, the trophy isn't all that valuable, really, but they are great value to the team because that trophy shows that the team could beat all others and that the team had outstanding players and that the team could work together and were unbeatable. The glory belonged to the team, and the trophy revealed that. The believer is a trophy of God's grace, and God can take the hell-bound sinner, he can take away the vices, and the foul language, and the immoral desires, and the worthless, hopeless feelings, and the sin and misery, and he can make him a new creature in Christ with purpose, and with peace, and with principles. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. A new creature. You see, God can take the person who was a sinner before, and he can accomplish great things through him, and he can use that person to lead other sinners to Christ and to help other Christians grow in the Lord. You see, God says that we are his inheritance and that we have great value and great wealth when we are placed in his hands, and we should thank him and praise him that we are his riches and we can glorify him. Now, the third thing and the last thing is that we might know the power. And notice beginning with verse 19, that we might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, so many times we say, I can't do this, or I can't do that. And yet God says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You see, he offers us and tells us that we have power when we belong to Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. But many times we limit it and we disregard it and we fail to fully avail ourselves of it. But God says that this power is available to us and that it's resurrection power, the same power that could raise Christ from the grave and that could give life to the dead, can give power and authority and position to the one who is in Christ. And God says that power is exceedingly great. Now, we are incapable of measuring it and reaching its limits, but it's available to us. And again, that power is in the person of the Holy Spirit. Paul's desire in Philippians 3:10 was that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And that word know means to know by experience. And so Paul's desire was to know Christ experientially, and his desire for these believers in Ephesus and for us was that they might grow and know more and more of his power in their lives. And again, he desires the same thing for us. Now, what a prayer to pray for others, and what a desire to have for ourselves, that we might know, appreciate, and appropriate the things that God says we have in Christ. We have the hope of eternal life, and we are his riches in Christ, and we have great power, the power of his resurrection. And God wants us to be thankful for these things and experience this in our own lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the riches that we have in Christ and for all that you have promised us. We thank you that we know that we have eternal life and that we are rich in him. And we thank you that we have the power of his resurrection through the person of the Holy Spirit, that we might faithfully live for you and that we might faithfully serve you. And Father, I pray that we would know each of these things by experience. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.